Chapel program, Thursday, November the 5th. Fred Batters speaking.
I call to worship is responsive reading number 1 on the back of your hymnal. An invitation to praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. For let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Continuing in our worship with responsive reading number 47, taken from various selective readings from the New Testament, Christian discipleship. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us pray. Our Father, in the reverence of this time, we come before Thee in prayer and in praise, acknowledging Thee as our God, acknowledging Thee as the God of love and of mercy, of justice, of understanding, of wisdom. We pray to Thee, dear Lord, confessing our sins, those sins which we have committed against our fellow man, that we have committed against ourselves, and those which we have committed against Thee. Also, we confess, our Father, those sins of omission in which we have failed to see the needs which are about us, in which we have failed to give of our best in fulfillment of our call. We are thankful, our Father, for the many opportunities which have been ours. We thank Thee for this school and its influence in this world. And we pray, dear Lord, that as the students and the administration and faculty of this school work together, that it may be in glory for Thy kingdom, and that we may give of our best to the fulfillment of that which Thou would have us to do. For this nation, our Father, we pray. For the new leaders which have been elected to lead us, to guide us in the years ahead, we pray that they will turn unto Thee. And as they are to make the decisions which affect all of mankind, we pray that indeed they will take Thee as their guide as they seek to lead us. Our Father, bless those gathered here. We pray that this may be a time in which we may be consecrated to Thee, that we will be in a continual time of rededicating all of our talents, all of our efforts, all of our time to Thy glory. Guide us in the days ahead, our Father. We pray that it might be a time of renewed scholarship, a time of renewed understanding, a realization of the responsibility of others. Guide us, our Father, and may, as we go to proclaim Thy message, never forget the love which Thou showed to us when Thou sent Thy Son to die, but to be raised again, to defeat sin and to defeat death, to point us to Thee. All these things we pray in Thy name, for Thy sake. Amen. In the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the 20th verse, is this statement. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. At approximately 7:15 on Tuesday evening, September the 22nd, the sun crossed the plane of the Earth's equator, thus making night and day all over the Earth of the same length. This is what we call the autumnal equinox, signifying for our calendar-oriented eyes that this time we call summer is behind us, and we must now look ahead to the future, to this time we call autumn, or this time we call fall. For most of us, it was during the last week of August that we call the end of summer. We bid farewell to the warmth and the beauty of the sun-drenched beaches, our homes, and we prepared our thoughts, so we looked ahead to the dying of another year, to the end or the gradual dying of this year's contribution to fresh fruits, to fresh flowers, and the roasting of our skins. This year has flown quickly. It is almost gone. As each summer passes into history, as each season passes into history, as this autumn appears, the products of our foresight and efforts are being harvested in order to give us, in order to provide us with the means by which we have some of the physiological necessities of life, which in turn offer us the possibility of having some of the psychological necessities to fulfill some of our needs. The seeds which are sown in the birth of spring and of early summer are now being harvested. If they have been guided by patient and mature dedication to their growth. The most crucial and exciting time of the year for a farmer is this harvest season. This is the time when all of his efforts are gathered together. Will he be a success or a failure? Will he harvest enough to give him the forward motion to carry him through another year? It is now that crops are ready to produce an income. In wheat country, a harvest is especially dramatic as the farmers scan the skies, anxiously looking to see any sight of any rain or any hail that will come and damage the rapidly ripening grain. Fire hazards are watched carefully, and soon the results of a year's work will be known. Some will be happy, but some will know sorrow. In our work as ministers and leaders in this seminary and in the various churches and in our homes, we are in a continual state of sowing, a continual state of harvest, a continual state of preparing, a continual state of reaping on this or that project. The church year came to an end last month. With whatever success we had with the year's harvest in the church, we're still preparing now to look ahead for the new year. We're sowing those seeds by which we hope to reap a harvest during this coming church year. In some cases, we have changed the farmers or we've changed the workers. Then they, with their seeds of talent, of understanding, and of knowledge, go forth in faith, preparing the old fields and the new fields to receive that seed of life by which the babes in Christ come to develop strong and deep roots and to mature into strong Christians. Now, workers, whatever field they may work in, may know that some seedlings take longer to grow than others. But with nourishing amounts of the water of life, the Christian does grow into a thing of beauty, warmed by the radiance of the love of the Son of God. Now, some seeds have been planted and will start growing, but because of the indifference or the laziness of the caretaker, the plant begins to wither. And so the worker sits back, not knowing and possibly not caring why this plant is not growing. With the many possibilities of excuses which we have today of blaming this on that person or that thing, the worker sits back or falls back into a complacent and rationalizing atmosphere, lulling himself to sleep, letting the plant wither and die. He blames it either that the seed came from a spoiled batch of weak parent plants, or that there was nothing that I can really get any help on here, no help is available for this difficult task, or that I really can't do anything myself, so I'll just let God do it all. When the harvest is past and the summer is ended, we pity the poor farmer who has been unsuccessful. And yet we must have some concern also, for that farmer may be a tenant farmer, just caring for this little particle of land or this little area of life for someone who is far greater than he. Possibly this fact of not owning the land may be add to the indifference shown by the tenant farmer. The harvest time has ended for this past church year. We're in a time of harvest as we come possibly to the end of our seminary education, and we look to see what we have reaped in the lives of youth and those a little older in chronological years. We stop to evaluate the growth, and then we prepare to turn over those crops to another person, or either prepare to continue what we have been doing in our churches or in our schoolwork, whether we have been successful or unsuccessful. How happy some of us feel that a successful harvest and the growth of our labors and our places of responsibility in the church are not what completely feeds our stomach. How sad we would be as we would join those who are starving. And yet the same harvest is related to our spiritual growth. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and so many of us, and for those we care for, are not saved. We are in the spring of this school year, looking forward to the harvest today, tomorrow, in May, next year, and with good intentions we continually prepare to look forward in the next year. If we do look ahead, we must do so with a far-reaching understanding of our task, in fulfillment of our call which God has given to us, as we are the workers who seek to cultivate our fellow Christians. Each position is equally important in the church. Each position is equally important in this seminary, and no person is without responsibility. As parents, as we as parents, and we hope that other parents, have started their children on the right track, in the right growth. But also we as church leaders, as organizational leaders, we have the responsibility to take these children, these babes in Christ of all ages, and give of our best, not in indifference, but give of our best in sowing that seed by which these people grow into a mature and to a dedicated Christian. Now, there's no tooting of horns and ringing of loud bells at the changeover of a season, or even from the time of the end of one harvest to the next day, the sowing of the seeds of another harvest. There's no loud noise such as we have in the chaos of the changeover of the calendar year. And yet we come to a time, to a harvest, to the sowing of a new field, a new crop. Still we come to this change of season with a fervent cry of God be merciful to me, even me a minister, a sinner, and also Lord let me be worthy to do thy work which is set before me. All nature is saying to us now, if you've opened your eyes, the summer is ended. The dying leaves on the trees are give us like lilac monuments with an epitaph. The summer is ended. The harvest time is here. The soul of the intelligent Christian reflects the world from all sides. Someone has spoken or stated the year to be this, quote, the year is to him a great temple of praise on whose altar there is an offering. Spring puts its blossoms and summer its shelf of grain and autumn its branch of fruits, while winter like a white-bearded priest stands at the altar praising God with song of snow and hail and tempest, unquote. Many harvests have been in the past years of our lives. Many summers have ended. Many crops have been gathered. Many failures are behind us. And yet there is always, or at least now, a new chance lying before us. Will we not think also a little bit of ourselves, a little of the time that has passed in the background, about the harvest which God looks for in us, and as we seek to lead those in the churches, as we seek to fulfill our call, may we look not only to the present day, but look into the future, that so that we may say at harvest time that we have not been a failure. One day the master of a man named Luckman said to him, "Go into such a field and sow barley." Luckman sowed oats instead. At the time of harvest, his master went to the place and, seeing the green oats springing up, said, "Did I not tell you to sow barley? Then why in the world did you sow oats?" And Luckman replied, "I sowed oats in the hope that barley would grow up." And his master said, "Are you crazy? Have you ever heard of the like before?" And then Luckman replied this, "You yourself are constantly sowing in the field of the world the seeds of evil, and yet expect to reap in the resurrection day the fruits of virtue. Therefore, I thought also that I might get barley by sowing oats." The master was so set back by the reply that he let Luckman go free. You have doubtless heard also of the great painter who, asked by a brother artist why he produced so few pictures, answered, "You paint for time, and I paint for eternity." We have a great future. We have a great responsibility as ministers and leaders of our churches, of our seminaries, of all walks of life. But we must serve for eternity if we expect to reap the harvest of eternal joy. As we go through each day, look at the beauty of the seasons about you. Look at the beauty of the possibility of harvest. When you feel that a church has been successful, the harvest fills you with great joy. Be thankful for what you have received, and with hope, with whatever talents we have, go forth to enjoy the life and the call which has been given you. Good seed, properly planted, will grow and produce more good seed. The influence which you have upon others, the seeds which you plant today as professors, as ministers, as teachers, may in turn have far greater effect and influence than you'll ever be able to realize at this moment. Someday a final harvest will come. What we sow we shall reap. But now is the time to prepare, so that no one of us will have to lament in the days to come that the harvest is past, that the summer is ended, and so many of us are not saved. Let us pray. Our Father, thou knowest our inward hearts and our minds. Thou knowest if we have been good stewards of that which thou hast given us to do. And we pray, dear Lord, that in the coming days that we will seek to sow good seed, but that we will continually work in dedication to cultivate that seed so that there will be a great harvest for thy kingdom. Guide us now as we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.